Acts chapter 1 and verse number 1, it says, "The former Croesus have I made, O Theopolis, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Couldn't deny it because there were infallible proofs. There were miracles that happened. I don't care what denomination you were a part of. You couldn't deny that there was a power that came from God. It was a supernatural power. "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. The word power there is dunamis in the Greek, which we get the word dynamite. It's a miraculous power. It's also a revealing power. So it's not only the idea that there's going to be great miracles, but there's going to be great revelation or insight as to who God really is. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And then in chapter 2, verse number 1, is the fulfillment of what Jesus said. Tarry there, wait there, and you shall be endued with power. Verse 1 said, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." The beginning. And it keeps on flowing. Someone, I can't remember what meeting I was in, a ministerial meeting, that they said something like every 40 seconds, someone is filled with the Holy Ghost and experiences the same experience of Pentecost. And it's even going to be greater. Those who have never been raised in Pentecost are still being filled with the Holy Ghost as God is reckless, pouring out his Spirit. Someone raises their hand. They feel in their heart they want to get closer to God. And suddenly, I didn't want to be a Pentecost, but now I am. Because I have the experience. Lord, we ask your blessing, your touch upon the word, your anointing, that God, we will be your church. And God, that we continue to experience those things that, God, you said we would experience, a greater power. It's all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I am here this morning because of a supernatural experience in God that I had a long, long time ago. And that supernatural experience with God had given me an appetite to find out what was in this book. Sometimes we try to do the reverse. We try to explain to people, to give them a book report on Pentecost, and here's what it is. But it doesn't generally work that way. You have to have the experience before you get the appetite. And when you have this supernatural experience, when you feel something from another world, then you have to identify it in the book. All my life, from childhood on, I heard the stories of the Bible. As a boy, I went to a denominational Christian school, and I believed in God with all of my heart, all of the Bible stories that I had learned in that school, but then I got caught up in life, got caught up in business, got caught up in family and relationships and recreation. Not bad things, just no attention on God. Now, you can become the most successful business person in the entire world and never have access to eternity. You can have the best relationship with all kinds of people, but not have a relationship with God, and you do not have access to eternity. I don't want to have another funeral of somebody that was a good person, but never accessed Acts 2 and 38. Hallelujah. I had a couple of days vacation. My wife and I escaped to Managua, and it was a wonderful time, and I went trap shooting and reacquainted myself with something I used to do a lot of years ago, and it was exciting, and it gave me an appetite to do more of that. But even if I was the best shot in the entire world, it's not going to give me any advantage to the next. We're striving sometimes for all kinds of things, and we think they're going to bring us happiness, but the only real entrance into happiness is to abide by God's word and have this relationship, this special relationship with Jesus Christ. I guess I just didn't think I could live the life that the Bible described, and I think there are a lot of people who feel exactly that way. I know what those people are like. How could I ever live that way? But greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. It describes it in Ezekiel 26 that he'll put a new heart within us and cause us to walk in his statutes. And the things that I didn't like, now I love. And the things that I used to love, now I dislike. Because God turns things around. What was up is down, and what is down is up. You see. At about the age of 29, people started asking me to come to church, and I was irritated by the invitations. I really was. In fact, yesterday my wife and I stopped at the house of a couple that literally brought us to church the first time. But I knew I needed to renew a relationship with God, not just to have more information, but I had to have a relationship. And there's a big difference between relationship and religion. Religion says you're all right just the way you are, and I'll talk to God for you. But relationship says that God wants to have an intimate time with you. He wants to interact with you, you see. It's not enough to go through somebody else. That was Old Testament. New Testament, the veil is ripped, and we walk right into the presence of God whenever we want to. God's Spirit moved on me and changed me. Just like the Spirit of God moved on the face of the earth when it was void and dark. And all of a sudden, he said, "Let there be light." And all of a sudden, light comes into your life and you say, "Oh, I didn't realize God was that real." In describing the Spirit of God in the Bible, it says, like a flying dove, a flowing oil, a gushing fountain, a blowing wind, a falling fire. The Spirit of God is always described as something in motion. Not just standing there, not doing nothing, be idle. But God has ordained that there is some movement with the Spirit of God. And that's why we feel such liberty in order to worship God with everything. Not only our voice, but our hands and our feet and our entire body. God's Spirit must be allowed to move into every church service, but mostly in the individual lives. And that is what happened in that upper room on the day of Pentecost, and when ever someone is filled with the Holy Ghost, the true church is always moving some way. Glory to God. Pentecost Sunday is the birth of the church. When God's Spirit moved over the face of 120 people in an upper room, but it's not just a day that we celebrate. It is an experience just like what was described in that second chapter of the book of Acts. We can't explain it to people. They have to experience it for themselves. Too many times I've tried to explain to people the things of God, and they needed to have their own experience. I know people deny what we are and who we are and what we stand for, but they can't deny one thing, that something's different about you. Something has changed about you. I've seen people just about dragged into Pentecostal church, and I was one of them practically, but the Spirit moved on them, and now you just couldn't get them out, because this is what they have been looking for all their entire life. They wanted something they could participate in, not just be an audience of. Glory to God. Isn't it wonderful that everybody has a part in every Pentecostal church service? We all are active. We're not just bystanders. Hallelujah. It doesn't happen by a sermon or a prayer or some program. It happens because of an experience with God. And that's what we need to have. We need to have an experience with God all the time, not just, I remember when I was filled with the Holy Ghost, but I need to understand that I have to have that experience over and over again. Would you turn to 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, please? Second Corinthians 3 and verse number 17, it says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. And the more of the Spirit of the Lord that enters into a service, the more liberty and freedom that we have in order to respond to God. It says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass that glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That word glory in the original is presence. It says, are changed into the same image from the presence to the presence, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So every time we get into the presence of God, we are changed into His image. I'm excited about living for God. I can't even tell you why, but I've been touched again in the service by His Spirit, and it perpetuates my commitment to Him. This experience of the Spirit moving on people separates us from just about everybody else. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall speak with new tongues, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And God was very specific just before He left. If you want to know who the real church is, there are some signs. They're going to speak in a language that they'd never learn. They're going to have the power of God. They're going to see miracles of God. God knows that we need more than just a desire to live for Him. We need power from on high, a move of His Spirit to change us from day to day and empower us to overcome some of the things and the temptations that we go through on a regular basis. I had a conversation with a lady after prayer yesterday, and she was telling me about when she was filled with the Holy Ghost, that she was an avid smoker, and she knew that, boy, this is something I need to lay down, but I've tried it before, and it just hasn't worked. And so after the service, she was driving over to somebody's house, and normally, quoting her, I'd be smoking my brains out before I got there, but she said, I'm just not going to do that until I get to their house. And then after, I'm really going to smoke my brains out on the way back. And she said, the desire was completely gone. No withdrawals from it whatsoever. Hallelujah. Why? Because there is a power of God that changes us from the inside to overcome those things that we can't. And some people say, I can never live that life. Well, you don't understand our God. You don't understand the power that comes with the Holy Ghost that changes you from presence to presence. In other words, you're saying, I don't believe God is that powerful. Really? We heard it this morning. Raised from the dead. delivered from an issue of blood. And God certainly can take care of our inadequacies and those things that we've tried to overcome over and over again. It's never worked. It is time to celebrate that first ingathering of souls in that upper room. Pentecost means 50th, a celebration that was observed by the church 50 days after the Passover, or the celebration of being delivered from the bondage of Israel. So from the time they were delivered from bondage in Exodus, the 12th chapter, they celebrated that Passover. Acts 20 and 16 says, "For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost." So they continued to celebrate the day of Pentecost after Pentecost had already come. So the church has always observed the day of Pentecost. It is the birth of the church, but it's much more than that. Pentecost is not a religion. Pentecost is an experience which replicates that first upper room experience and gives us an opportunity to once again celebrate our own Pentecost and say, thank you, God, for what you did in our life. People from all persuasions and religions have had this experience. There are Baptist and Aglo meetings and all kinds of charismatic meetings that cater to those who are filled with the Holy Ghost but still don't fit into the nominal world, but they still want to have the freedom. Well, hallelujah. We can do it openly every time we walk into a Pentecostal church. We don't have to have a little group to do that. Hallelujah. It's where the first church was born, where God breathed his spirit into man to wake up that spiritual being. Just as when we were born in the natural, we took that first breath and we cried out, and it signified that we are now alive. Well, the same is true when we were filled with God's spirit. It was God's breath in us. In fact, the word Holy Ghost means God's breath. So what we have is the breath of God that came into us. And when we get the breath of God, it literally changes us. We become a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. We look at everything differently than we did before. But we got to keep breathing. This is what makes us alive. If we stop taking in air, we'll die. If we stop breathing in the Spirit via worship, we will eventually die in the Spirit. That's why when I baptize people, I say, you know what, this is a beginning, but you still have to get into the presence of God on a regular basis. You know, I've been pastoring for almost 26 years and serving God for a long time before that, but I know that just a few weeks out of the presence of God, that old nature is going to come back and I'm going to start struggling because I've stopped breathing in the Spirit of God. You don't realize that, you know, we need to gather ourselves all the more together as we see the day approaching, because we need more of the breath of God in us in order to overcome some of the things that are just down the road. Glory to God. Amen. So today is a time to thank God for your experience, your personal Pentecost, the first of the Thanksgivings. Millions and millions of people have had this experience, yet the media hasn't reported any of this. People healed all the time. People delivered all the time. People speaking in a language they never, I haven't read it in the paper. Haven't seen it. So it is our obligation to get the word out. Now, we put a large ad in the Racine Journal yesterday. Sister Durbin did a wonderful job of putting it together, inviting the entire city to come to Pentecost Sunday to feel the presence of God and experience something that perhaps they haven't experienced before. But my experience has been that most people come because you personally invite them, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Don't expect the paper to do something that we're supposed to be doing. Would you turn to Leviticus? It's one of those books that you read at bedtime. Leviticus, the 23rd chapter. Verse number 15. And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaves of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Ye shall bring out of your habitation two wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be bacon with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. So this is the law. This had to happen 50 days after. Now, if you'll turn to Exodus 34. And verse 22, it says, and thou shalt observe the feast of weeks of the first fruits of wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. So what happened is they would celebrate this as the feast of weeks, the first fruits of wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering, or what God has done for you. And it was said that everyone was to come and celebrate this. So here's what it looked like. They would either bring in sheaves that they had just cut from the field. It was the first cut. It was the first part of the harvest. And they would bring them before the Lord, and they would wave them before God. And they'd say, thank you for the harvest. Thank you for the ingathering. Thank you, God, for the bread that we have. Oh, thank you, God. Everybody was to come and thank him for the harvest. Everyone. Hallelujah. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing today. Hallelujah. What we read in Leviticus was the law concerning those holy days. The Feast of Weeks was held in remembrance of the giving of the law, 50 days after the departure from Egypt, that they would celebrate this. 50 days after that lamb that was slain and the blood was applied to the house, and God delivered them from the curse of the death angel. 50 days after that, they were to start to celebrate. And was also a prophecy of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, and those people didn't even understand it. 50 days after the Passover, they were to observe the Feast of Weeks, in which they were to bring from their house two loaves or sheaves made from the wheat harvest and offer those to God. It was also the Feast of Ingathering and the Feast of the First Fruits. It was a picture of what was to happen on the day of Pentecost, a shadow and type, because what was happening here is those 120 were the first fruits. It was the beginning of the harvest. And God was saying, okay, get those hands up and wave them to God. And you thank God for what he has done, you see. Jesus became the Passover lamb offered for sin for all of mankind. He was the shadow or the fulfillment of the shadow of type of that lamb on the day of Passover. He remained in the ground for 3 days. The Bible tells us that except a corn of wheat shall fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit, according to John 12 and 24. The seed sprang forth out of the ground and was observed, according to the Bible, for 40 days. So 40 days, he was the first fruits, and there were miracle upon miracles that were happening. It was a shadow and type of what was going to happen when the church sprang forth out of that upper room. So 43 days after the day of Passover, 3 days in the grave, 40 days seeing, Jesus ascends to heaven and told his disciples to wait for the promise of the Father. And ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence, or the breath of God. Remember, Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Well, he couldn't give them what they needed until after his death, burial, and resurrection. The will couldn't be read until after the one who made the will died. The disciples then spent 1 week in an upper room waiting for the promise. Okay, 40 days, 3 days, and 7 days makes 50 days, or Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Harvest, the Feast of Ingatherings, the first Pentecost, which means 50 from the Passover. And you see how God just fulfilled everything in Leviticus and in Deuteronomy. They gave thanks to God as a normal part of the tradition of the Feast of Harvest. No doubt that each brought with them 2 loaves or sheaves of harvest, which was their first harvest, to wave before the Lord in thanksgiving. And I really see that as a matter of law, they understood this. We don't understand it because we're not going back to the Old Testament law. But I believe that there were 500 people that walked into that upper room, and they didn't walk in there empty-handed. They walked in there with sheaves in order to wave before the Lord. You know what, church? We cannot walk in here empty-handed. We cannot walk into a Pentecostal church without waving our sheaves. I didn't get anything out of that service. Well, what did you put into the service? Hallelujah. I've used this illustration before, but I remember was in the church for a year, and there was a lady who was very faithful to church, and this Sunday morning she brought her husband, and I watched him, and it was kind of a lively worship, and people were raising their hands, and this guy was looking around, as you know, maybe somebody did here this morning, and finally he decided he was going to lift his hand to see if it really made a difference. And I remember him going like this, you know. Does it make a difference? Yes, because it's a fulfillment of what happened on the day of Pentecost. It was a fulfillment that happened all through the Old Testament. In every one of my Bible studies, I give the example of years ago, we were having a special service in Fond du Lac. It was in the middle of summer. Their church was in the downtown area. They did not have air conditioning. It was hot. They opened the doors to the church. I remember the place was packed, and our choir was singing at the front, and the music was loud, and there was a guy who was walking by the church and kind of looked in, you know. And then I saw him walk back the other way and look into the church. And finally, he couldn't resist. He wanted to know what was going on. And so he walked in, and he just leaned against the doorpost, you know. And he started observing, and he saw these people raising their hands. And so he raised his hands like this. And God immediately filled them with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues. I walked up to him and I said, "Do you know what happened to you?" He said, "I don't know. Something came over me like I've never felt before. But you see, he raised the sheaves to God." And he was saying, "God, if you've got more for me, I want it." And God says, "Perfect. That's what I've been waiting for all your life, just to get those hands up in the air and start thanking me for the things that I've already given you." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you bring your harvest? Did you bring your thanksgiving? You know, there are too many people in this world who think they're self-made or they're special or they have more brain cells or they're a little better looking than somebody else and they're a little smarter and they work their program and they've got a plan that they put into. Who gave you your brain cells? Who made you look the way you did? Who gave you the energy in order to work a job? Hallelujah. If you're going to glory in anything, glory in that you know God, that I've been in his presence. Hallelujah. During this week, in this upper room, they were thanking God for the ordinary things of life. We thank him for the miracles. When's the last time you thanked him for a toothbrush? When's the last time you thanked him for a soft chair that you could sit in? But they were thanking God for the ordinary things. Thank God, you know, we have the power of God in here to heal us. But thank God I haven't had to ask God for a healing. Thank God for the good health that I have. They started thanking God for the ordinary things, for the bread that they ate, the fruit that the land produced. They gave unto God more that week than ever before. And right in the middle of it, right in the middle of their thanksgiving, waving those sheaves before the Lord, God poured out the Holy Ghost for the first time in that upper room. And the first fruits of his church were now produced. The first crop, if you will, 2,000 years ago, hybrid seed, impervious to anything else. Oh, there's all kinds of people who want to spread weed killer on us, but we're impervious because we're the right seed. We really are. The seed was planted in the ground, and there was a rapid harvest. There was 120, then 3,000, then 5,000, and it keeps growing every 40 seconds. There's a new harvest. In Acts 2 and 1, it said, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with all one accord in one place." The word accord means sharing the same opinion, being in complete harmony and complete agreement. Everybody was in the church and everybody was unanimous and in complete agreement, had the same opinion. The adjective for unanimous is the word solid. If God was going to have a foundation for the church, he would build. Then there had to be a solid foundation on which to build it. And the solid foundation that we have to build on is a unanimous opinion, agreeing. And when they were all in one accord and in one place, then it still works today. When there are divisive things within the church, it's not a solid foundation any longer. The church has to be in one accord, has to be in agreement, and that's part of what happens in every one of our church services. We're doing the same thing. We're all clapping our hands. We're raising our hands. When I was in basic training, my wife came down to observed graduation from basic training, and she kept going on and on how incredible it was to see thousands of soldiers walking in cadence and how powerful it seemed. And you know, when heaven sees us walking in cadence, when heaven sees us agreeing, church, you can't resist. Then suddenly there's a mighty rushing wind that fills this place because of the agreement that we have. That same agreement that was in Pentecost has to be in our church today. Could it be that the church growth is tied to church harmony? That some of the original 500 people who gathered in the upper room, well, they just couldn't stay because they just couldn't agree? The word fully come in the first verse is described in the Greek as to accomplish in time enough to swamp a boat. I'll tell you what, I'd love our Pentecostal swamp a boat. You know, so many miracles, we just couldn't handle it. We'd have to produce a paper every week just listing all of the miracles, but that's what God would have. And it's not because he decides when, it's we decide when. When we get to the place of one mind and one accord, when we agree with one another, I'm telling you, suddenly God's going to move in this place. What if every altar call would produce everybody in the church? What if every Saturday morning would produce everybody in the church? What if everybody would sing? This is not an observation deck. This is a place of participation. I went too many years in a denominational church just sitting on a pew watching. It's not a one-man show. This is a one-church show. Everybody on the same page. That kind of Pentecost comes because people put aside their agendas for the good of everyone. They continued in one accord, breaking bread. In order to have a harvest, someone has to die and fall into the ground or will abide alone. It's what we're saying is, you know what? I esteem you higher than I esteem me. Rather than saying, well, you know what? If people really like me, they'll come to me. You know what? If you want to have friends, show yourself friendly. Get involved in the church. We don't need a group for the teens and then a group for the young adults and a group for the geezers and a group for, you know. We don't. Get involved. You know what? I'm a nice guy. Talk to me. Hallelujah. Sometimes we just have to put aside our differences because we're not all alike. You know what? We all have different DNA. We all have different likes and dislikes, but you know what? We can have one thing in common is we love God more than anything else in this world. We put a lot of emphasis on Pentecost. Celebrate that birth of the church. We put a lot of emphasis on people gathering and getting the Holy Ghost on Pentecost Sunday, and that's appropriate, and that's a wonderful thing. But we need to keep breathing. Really, the day of Pentecost, of giving thanks to God for what he had given them, is also something that we need to celebrate every time we gather together to thank him for what he's done for us. When people are grateful, it seems like we just want to go overboard in order to help. And I feel that God's waiting for that, you know, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. What we're entering into is Pentecost, when we're thanking and worshiping and praising God. It's the greatest thing that we've got going in this church. It really is. A freedom where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We thank him for the bread today, but, you know, we're not thanking him for Ezekiel bread or Wonder Bread. We're not thanking him for those things. It's so common to have that. But you know what we're thanking him for? We're thanking him for the bread of life, which is the word of God. You know? I've cried more during sermons sometimes and even worship because I was so touched by what God had given to me through His Word. Through the Word of truth, they've received the breath of God, the life of the Spirit, and Pentecost is a result of their thankfulness to God. I've been with hundreds of people who have been filled with the Holy Ghost, and their receiving the Holy Ghost was always a result of their thanking God for the truth of His Word and then responding to His truth. I've seen people who have walked up here not knowing anything about God, and you know, they come up because somebody said you ought to come up and God will fill you with the Holy Ghost, and they're waiting. They're just waiting for God to do that. But, you know, we have to interact with God just like those people did on the day of Pentecost. We have to wave our sheaves. We have to thank Him for revealing to us that there's more to this than just sitting in a pew someplace. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The perfect example of that is found in Acts, the 10th chapter. Would you turn with me? Acts chapter 10. This is such an incredible scripture because it defines salvation in a way that we cannot receive it on our own. Verse number one, it describes the first non-Jew or Gentile that was saved. Verse one says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all of his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Now, most of the world would pronounce him saved. Feared God with all of his house. Gave much alms or money to people and prayed to God once every 2 months. No, always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. So because of his devotion to God, fearing God, his openness to give and pray to God, God sent him an angel. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now here's somebody who has not been baptized or filled with the Holy Ghost, but his prayers and his giving has come up as a memorial to God, and God couldn't get around that. The prayers were stacking up. The memorials were stacking up in heaven, and God said, we got to send him an angel with more information or bread. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtst to do, or what you have to do in order to be saved. Are you kidding me? He's fearing God with all of his house. He's given all kinds of money to the poor, and he prays to God always, and God's saying, yeah, not enough. You see, if that's the way we could be saved, then Calvary was the tragedy of all tragedies because all we had to do is get good. But it's not enough to get good. And so, reluctantly, Peter is sent to the house of Cornelius. And in verse 44, it says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. I wonder, as Peter was preaching, he didn't even get his message finished. There were people who were waving the sheep saying, thank you for the bread. This is awesome. I never heard this before. Oh, thank you, God. And as they were thanking God for sending Peter and the words that he spake, woof, and suddenly, there came from heaven a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. And what happened? And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How'd they know? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And that should be enough. No, here's Peter. You know what? I thank God that somebody would stand up and say what needs to be said. Somebody, when they didn't understand on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and he explained to them, well, now that you got the Holy Ghost, here it is. Then Peter answered, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we, or just like us? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, which is Jesus. Then prayed they him to tarry a certain time. Come on, give us more bread. Give us more information. This is just whet my appetite. Tell me more about this God who just came to live inside of me. Hallelujah. On the day of Pentecost, people in the upper room became the first fruits of our Lord's death, and falling into the ground said, you know what, I'm not going to live for myself anymore. I'm going to live for God. And as a result, there's going to be much harvest coming. It can't happen without somebody denying themselves. The loaves of bread literally waving their hands to God in thanksgiving. Ever since that day, Spirit-filled people have been waving their hands before the Lord as a part of their feast of harvest, ingathering, and Pentecost. And the more thankful we become, the greater the harvest will be. The more thankful we are to God for what he's already given us, God is going to add to the church. It's not going to be a newspaper ad. It's not going to be a program. It's going to be people who are saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Hallelujah. The enemy of your soul hates what we have, wants to take it away, tell you can do it another day. It's not important right now. Jesus said to Peter in Luke 22 and 31, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, to perforate you, or to take you apart and put holes in you. There are some breads that look good on the outside, but you cut through them and you've seen it. There are great big holes in them. They're not very good for a sandwich because everything falls out. And we can look good on the outside, but I tell you what, we got to be Pentecost all the way through. We can't be perforated. I want to be a whole loaf for God. Hallelujah. So today, above all days, I want to give thanks to God for not only what he has given me in a daily substance and blessings, my own Pentecostal experience, that I have the same experience that Peter had, the same experience that Cornelius has had, but more important, that other people could have the same experience. As we continue to wave our sheaves before God. Oh, thank you, God, for the ingathering. I'm telling you, if you're just holding on until Jesus comes, you won't make it. Hallelujah. You got to get excited about this. That's why all of these scriptures, most of you have heard every one of them, could even quote them, but we better get excited about it all over again in order to have the infilling. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world, and he truly is greater in us. He's given us power. Hallelujah. You know, it's Apostolic Faith Church. That's a wonderful thing. But you know what? My experience is Pentecostal. You know, somebody came up to me not too long ago and said, you're Pentecostal, aren't you? Like that's a dirty word. No. It's my badge. I am Pentecostal. I'm the real deal. Hallelujah. If you're a Pentecostal, why don't you stand up? Glory to God, glory to God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And the gospel is Pentecostal. Amen. This morning would be a good time to reaffirm all of what God has done for you and the experience that you've had. I run into people from time to time who have had this experience and they walked away from it. But I'll tell you what, they can never deny the supernatural experience that happened in their life. And whether it's dormant within them, there still is a seed of Pentecost in each and every one of them that needs to be revived. Needs to be revived. Glory to God. Jesus, Jesus. Not too long ago, this young lady didn't even understand what was going on in her family. But today, it's different. It's different. Glory to God. The altar's open. Would you come?